Good morning, everyone, and welcome to Emmanuel Church, which is part of the Old Town Partnership, and a very warm welcome to anyone who is visiting us for the first time, and also those listening to us on the Tate Ministry at home during this coming week. Please make yourself known to us or any of our elders after service and by signing the visitor's book located in the church porch. Our service this morning is being led by the Reverend Tony Barnes. Thank you, Tony, and we look forward to hearing your message to us. Our reading today is from St. Mark's Gospel, chapter 11, verses 1 to 19, and our reader is Helen Marsden. There are no extra notices in the weekly assembly queues, but I'd like to reiterate that next Sunday is Easter Sunday, and we'd like the congregation to bring flowers to decorate to the cross. That's next Sunday morning, please. It wasn't in the weekly news, but if you could all remember to bring flowers next Sunday. There's tea and coffee after the church today. I will now light the Christ candle and the peace candle, after which we'll have a moment's reflection before the start of the day's service. Thank you.
Dear friends in Christ, during Lent, we have been preparing to observe the time of our Lord's death and resurrection. Today, we begin this solemn celebration in union with Christians throughout the world. Our Lord Jesus Christ entered Jerusalem to complete his work as our Saviour, to be rejected, to suffer and die, and to be raised from the dead. Let us go with him in faith and love, so that united with him in his sufferings, we may share his risen life. The hymn numbered 208, All Glory, Lord, and honour.
Thank you.
Let us pray. Eternal God, we come together before you with reverence and awe. Creator, renewer, ancient of days, fountain of life, giver of light and hope of the world, to you alone belong glory and praise. Coming humbly in Jesus Christ, the ruler on a donkey, riding toward the cross, to you alone belong glory and praise. Coming today through the Spirit of truth and gentleness, the Spirit of life and power, to you alone belong glory and praise. Eternal God, we worship you. O God of tender compassion, be merciful and gracious to us. Forgive the sins of all your people as we gather before you now. We name the name of Jesus, but our actions too often betray him. We talk of grace and mercy while we fail to forgive others. O God of tender compassion, you know and accept us as we are, and meet us with infinite patience and grace. In your presence we are beginners, yet growing into life. Give us hearts of thankfulness and praise. Eternal God, in your tender love towards the human race, you sent your Son, our Saviour Jesus Christ, to take our flesh and to suffer death upon a cross. Grant that we may follow the example of his great humility and share in the glory of his resurrection. Through the same Jesus Christ our Lord. Amen. The Lord's Prayer. Our Father, who art in heaven, hallowed be thy name. Thy kingdom come, thy will be done on earth as it is in heaven. Give us this day our daily bread, and forgive us our trespasses, as we forgive those who trespass against us. And lead us not into temptation, but deliver us from evil. For thine is the kingdom, the power, and the glory, for ever and ever. Amen. Hymn numbered 230, 230, The Glory of Our King Was Seen. Thank you. from the Old Testament is the Psalm, and you will find the Psalm at number 724 in the hymn book. 724, Psalm 118. And as ever, of course, the words in bolder type are for all to say together as you are minded to do so. The Lord is my strength and my song, and he has become my salvation. The right hand of the Lord has triumphed. The right hand of the Lord is exalted. The right hand of the Lord has triumphed. The Lord has punished me sorely, but he did not hand me over to death.
Open for me the gates of righteousness. I will enter
them.
I will
offer
thanks to the Lord.
This is the gate of the Lord. Those who are righteous may enter.
I will give thanks to you, for you answered me, and have become my salvation.
The same stone which the builders rejected has become the chief cornerstone.
This is the Lord's doing, and it is marvelous in our
eyes. On this day the Lord has acted. We will rejoice and be glad in it. Blessed is the one who comes in the name of the Lord.
We bless you from the house of the Lord.
God is the Lord. He has shined upon us. Form a procession with branches up to the horns of the altar. Give thanks to the Lord, for he is good. We are led in worship by the choir who sing the anthem, Holy, Holy, Holy Lord, by Franz Schubert.
This morning's reading is from the Gospel according to Mark, chapter 11, verses 1 to 19, and it can be found on page 45 in the New Testament section of the Pew Bibles. When they were approaching Bethlehem at Bethphage and Bethany, near the Mount of Olives, he sent two of his disciples and said to them, "Go into the village ahead of you, and immediately as you enter it, you will find tied there a colt that has never been ridden. Untie it and bring it. If anyone says to you, 'Why are you doing this?' just say this: 'The Lord needs it and will send it back here immediately.'" They went away and found a colt tied near a door outside in the street. As they were untying it, some of the bystanders said to them, "What are you doing, untying the colt?" They told him what Jesus had said, and they allowed them to take it. Then they brought the colt to Jesus and threw their cloaks on it, and he sat on it. Many people spread their cloaks on the road, and others spread leafy branches that they had cut in the fields. Then those who went ahead and those who followed were shouting, "Hosanna! Blessed is the one who comes in the name of the Lord. Blessed is the coming kingdom of our ancestor David. Hosanna in the highest heaven." Then he entered Jerusalem and went into the temple. And when he had looked around at everything, as it was late, he went out to Bethany with the 12. On the following day, when they came from Bethany, he was hungry. Seeing in the distance a fig tree in leaf, he went to see whether perhaps he would find anything on it. When he came to it, he found nothing but leaves, for it was not the season for figs. He said to it, "May no one ever eat fruit from you again." And his disciples heard it. Then they came to Jerusalem, and he entered the temple and began to drive out those who were selling and those who were buying in the temple. And he overturned the tables of the money changers and the seats of those who sold doves, and he would not allow anyone to carry anything through the temple. He was teaching and saying, "Is it not written, 'My house shall be called a house of prayer for all the nations'? But you have made it a den of robbers." And when the chief priests and the scribes heard it, they kept looking for a way to kill him, for they were afraid of him, because the whole crowd was spellbound by his teaching. And when evening came, Jesus and his disciples went out of the city. This is the word of the Lord.
Thanks be to God.
May my words and all our thoughts be acceptable to you, O God, our strength and our Redeemer. Amen. My friends, where I was brought up as a lad in southwest Cornwall in the 1950s, In the 60s, we loved a procession. You could say that in those rather grey early post-war years, there wasn't a lot going on. Although we had three cinemas in those days and a couple of male voice choirs. But we liked events that broke the routine and, I suppose, brought people together. And so we turned out in force for the three annual carnivals that processed either through the town or in the immediate environs, and then argued over which one was the best, and we always reckoned that the Newlyn Carnival came out tops. There was the occasional Billy Smart's circus parade from the railway station to the fairground, which we enjoyed, although this wouldn't, and quite rightly, happen these days on the grounds of animal welfare. And then there was the day when I was still at the infant school and we were marched crocodile fashion to the main road through the town and waved Union Jacks at a cavalcade of large black cars. And we're told that the reason for this, because some of us were bright enough to ask, was because one of the cars contained something or somebody with the title The Duke of Edinburgh. And this was an important person and he was going somewhere, so we had to wave our Union Jacks at the cars. I don't know quite how far he was going because it was only 10 miles to Land's End, so one can only hope that the cavalcade stopped at that point. One parade that somehow remains in my conscious memory happened on Corpus Christi, of course a very important day in the church calendar of the Roman Catholic Church, when the relatively small Catholic community in our then overwhelmingly Methodist town carried a colourful statue of the Virgin Mary through the centre of our town. And never mind that we were Methodists, we turned out for this as well, because it was something to see, and I suppose we kept our religious fingers crossed, because we were just a bit suspicious about that kind of thing. But it was a spectacle, and my friends, we loved a procession. All this, of course, was a long time, several years before the first famous, now famous, Notting Hill Carnival, which itself reminds us year on year that some processions can make a loud statement, demonstrate a profound and lively truth, and challenge perceptions, drawing us into new realms of understanding of our own identity as a human race together, inhabiting this planet, our God-given home to all of us equally. And so Mark records that Jesus processed into Jerusalem on a young donkey to the shouted acclaim of his supporters. And the next day, as we heard, in the temple, he physically attacked those who were engaged in the profitable business of the religious sacrificial system, whereby you could buy God's forgiveness for your sin. And Jesus quoted the Hebrew scriptures. My house shall be called a house of prayer for all the nations, And then, protesting to the powerful temple authorities who did very well out of their collaboration with Herod, the puppet king put in place by the occupying Roman Empire, but you, said Jesus, you have made it a den of thieves. In effect, what he was saying, you have commodified God, presumed the right to put a price on God, make him your property to sell, whereas God welcomes all freely to come to him. Now, my friends, this is a point of immense consequence. The parade into the city, the protest in the temple are extremely provocative and radically prophetic acts. They make a massively consequential statement. Pontius Pilate, the provincial governor representing the might of Rome at this festival of Passover, would have processed himself into Jerusalem with great pomp and show of military strength from his base town of Caesarea, to warn, as he did every year at the Passover festival, to warn menacingly that the slightest hint of trouble at this notoriously volatile time, when tens of thousands of Jewish people gathered, including those revolutionaries who would violently cast off the Roman yoke, any trouble would be met by ruthless suppression. No one mistook what that pompous procession meant. Processions make a statement. Then Jesus comes into the city. And Jesus comes on the little donkey, almost lampooning the arrogant posturing of Pilate and those who meet Jesus, maybe expecting him, cheer and wave in welcome. They and the Roman authorities would have almost certainly noted the contrast between the manner of Jesus' arrival and Pilate's entry days before. But in case Rome and its lackeys among the Jewish hierarchy didn't get the message, just in case they weren't bright enough to hear what was being said, Jesus makes it plain and abundantly clear in the temple, that great icon to the Jewish hierarchy's cooperation with the might of Rome. Now he would have been arrested and disposed of immediately had it not been that many ordinary Jewish people supported him. And so the authorities feared a riot. It had to be done at night, and we know the story and we will hear the story away from the crowds. Now this Passiontide, we are invited to say no to all who arrogantly strut the earth, claiming divine right over other people by virtue of their birth or their wealth or force of arms at their command. And we are invited to say yes, yes, to the primacy of support, empowerment, and service for the weak and the vulnerable. No to Pilate, yes to Jesus. ex-chief rabbi, the late Jonathan Sacks, who was for many years the leader of the Orthodox Jewish community here in the United Kingdom, wrote this, I quote, "A chosen people is the opposite of a master race. Because it exists to serve God, not to master others. A master race worships itself. A chosen people worships something beyond itself. A master race values power. A chosen people cares for the powerless. A master race believes it has rights. The chosen people knows only that it has responsibilities. The key virtues of a master race are pride, honor, and fame. The key virtue of a chosen people is humility." Jesus reminds his fellow Jews and the world what it means to be a chosen people. And in the light of Easter, truly to live the life of eternity, don't miss the procession. The truth is that it ever moves into our present, where we are, and beyond. We are invited to greet it with the whole of our being. We may feel that to walk with Jesus is beyond our vision, or indeed our powers. Who are we? And yet he receives our acclaim with gracious welcome and love, and the challenge to be with him, in the world for hope, for faith, for love, for gentleness, for humility, for kindness, for justice, and for peace. The journey, the procession goes on. And to travel with this Jesus is to love, to live. Now, just in conclusion, your own United Reformed hymn writer Brian Wren has it in a nutshell. I quote, "In every insult, rift, and war, where colour, scorn, or wealth divide, he suffers still, yet loves the more, and lives, though ever crucified. Christ is alive. His spirit burns through this and every future age, till all creation lives and learns his joy, his justice, love, and praise. Amen." I must tell you that our next hymn will be sung to the tune at number 403, and that the choir will sing verse 1. And then we shall all sing from verse 1 again. The hymn numbered 225, "Here Hangs a Man Discarded." Thank you. Friends, in our prayers of thanksgiving and of intercession to the words, God, hear us, I invite you to respond as you will. God, graciously hear us. Let us pray. O God of our salvation, we give you thanks for Jesus Christ, your Son, the eternal Word, in whom all things were created. He took the form of a servant, entered Jerusalem humbly, riding on a donkey, and became obedient to death, even death on a cross. Therefore, you have highly exalted him, and given him the name above every name, so that at the name of Jesus every knee should bow and every tongue confess that Jesus Christ is Lord, to your glory. We give you thanks for the Holy Spirit at work in the church and the world, for our calling to be Christ's disciples and to share in his mission of love and service. We worship you, we give you thanks. We praise you for your glory through Jesus Christ, our Lord. Holy God, we pray for your church throughout the world. We remember especially your church in the Holy Land, Israel, Palestine, for a remnant people in Christ in Gaza, and wherever your people in Christ live with the consequences of authoritarian government. Grant to them and all people of faith, O God, your justice, your peace, your vindication, and show us how we are one body. God, hear us. We pray for those who have power and influence, and for all who govern the nations, that they may have the mind that was in Christ, the servant of all. Bring down the mighty from their thrones and exalt the humble and the meek. So we pray for all those in and who would be in authority in this land. God, hear us. We pray for the powerless, for all victims of famine, war, conflict, global heating emergency. For the exploited, the enslaved, the trafficked. And for all who strive for justice and peace, truth tellers, activists, peacemakers. For those who even this day put their lives on the line for the sake of truth and justice and peace. And we pray for all who suffer prejudice, disadvantage, and even persecution and death on account of their gender or sexuality or colour or ethnicity, nationality or creed. Grant justice and peace, O God, we pray, and keep us faithful. God, hear us.
God, graciously hear us.
We pray for those who suffer, those caring for the sick and needy in these times, for the sorrowful, for those overwhelmed by a sense of guilt or failure, and for all who need our prayers this day, remembering especially those whom we bear in love on our hearts. Open our eyes, O God, we pray, to all those near and far in our communities and beyond, to whom we should reach out in compassion and support. God, hear us. We remember before you those who have passed from this life, giving thanks for all those who have revealed to us something of your grace in Christ. Giving thanks now for those of whom we are more particularly conscious. And we pray for all those whom we love and those we should learn to love. Speak grace and peace to our minds and hearts in this moment, we pray. And at the last, by your infinite mercy and grace, bring us together with all your saints to share the life of your eternal realm. God, hear us. Eternal God, through the self-offering of your Son, Jesus Christ, you have filled our lives with your presence. Help us in our sufferings and trials, and strengthen us in our weakness, and enliven us in all our hope and joy. Through Jesus Christ our Lord. Amen. Amen. The offering. We praise you, O God, for all that you enable us to share. Forgive us for all that we withhold, and make us what you want us to be. Through Jesus Christ our Lord. Amen. We say together the grace of our Lord Jesus Christ, the love of God, the fellowship of the Holy Spirit, be with us all evermore. Amen. Friends, I trust that each one of you received a palm cross as you entered the chapel this morning. If you haven't got a palm cross, would you like to raise your hand, please? Yes, there's one at the back and two in the choir, three in the choir, five in the choir, six, seven. So would palm cross distributors please leap into action? Two at the back somewhere, if they would like to reveal themselves. and probably by now every member of the choir and the organist. I invite you to hold your palm cross before you as I lead us in a prayer of dedication. O God, our Saviour, whose Son entered Jerusalem as Messiah to suffer and die, may these palms be for us a sign of his victory. May we who carry them ever hail him as ruler of all and follow him in the way that leads to eternal life. With all the faithful, may we enter the new Jerusalem in triumph through Jesus Christ our Lord, who is alive and reigns with you in the unity of the Holy Spirit, one God, now and forever. Amen. The hymn 209, ride on in majesty. Almighty and merciful God, the Father, the Son, and the Holy Spirit, bless us and keep us now and always. Amen. We go in peace to love and serve the Lord in the name of Christ. Amen.